Hey guys, I want to thank you all so much for listening to The Last Trip, and I really appreciate all your DMs and emails. It means a lot to me that you're enjoying this podcast. On that note, if anyone has any countries or places they're going to on vacation and want me to do an episode on that place, feel free to email me at thelasttrippodcast@gmail.com and let me know. Or you can find me on Instagram at thelasttripcrimepod. Also, a huge thank you to Rodney Kelly, who just joined our Patreon community. Really excited about the info that goes into the Patreon. That's where I post more about the people in these cases and the places we cover, as well as a lot of my personal travel photos and information. And as always, if you're enjoying the show, please click the 5 stars and leave a review. It means a lot to me when you guys leave great reviews, and that's how more people can find the show. With all that done, let's get into the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Chong Soom Yi, who everyone called Angie, was 22 years old when she went on a solo trip from Malaysia to Thailand on May 29, 2023. She had never traveled abroad alone before and didn't tell anyone she was going. In fact, her family only found out she was gone from a Facebook post. But what happened next has more twists and turns than most Hollywood films. And Angie has never been seen in person again. When Angie left home, she flew into Chiang Mai, Thailand, somewhere I've been wanting to go for ages to visit one of the many elephant sanctuaries there. Elephants have been domesticated and used by humans in Thailand for thousands of years. In ancient times, they were used for transportation, labor, and warfare because they're so intelligent and strong. They've also been associated with Thai royalty, and in traditional Thai culture, white elephants are considered sacred and symbols of royal power and prosperity. In the 20th century, elephants were used a lot in the logging industry to transport logs from forests to rivers where they could be floated downstream for processing. Of course, as we know, the logging industry led to widespread deforestation and the depletion of elephant habitats, ultimately causing even more problems for the gentle giants. As Thailand modernized and urbanized with newer technology, the role of elephants changed, and many domesticated elephants were left unemployed and vulnerable. So that's why conservation efforts were launched to protect and preserve Thailand's elephant population. Now elephants have transformed their role into part of the tourism industry in a good and bad way. There are elephant camps and sanctuaries all over Thailand. But there are questions about the ethical treatment of the animals. So many have changed their practices so that the sanctuaries are more ethical. For example, in most sanctuaries in Chiang Mai, you're able to observe the elephants and help with their care, but definitely not ride on them or anything like that. Because I hate to break it to you, but elephants don't want to be ridden. So if you get the chance to ride one, please don't take it. The Elephant Nature Park in Chiang Mai was the first and original rehabilitation center doing elephant care projects in Thailand. There's absolutely no riding or any human disturbance, but rather you can observe the elephants roaming free with their chosen herd from a skywalk. All the elephants were rescued from different campsites, logging camps, and circuses where they were treated very badly. Visiting and donating money helps to support the sanctuary, and if you get the chance to visit, it's an unforgettable experience. I visited one in Phuket, and it was life-changing seeing those amazing animals up close and in person. But Angie didn't stay in Chiang Mai. When she got to the airport, she was driven to the border town of Maesai, a town located in the northernmost part of Thailand in the Chiang Rai province. It sits right on the border with Myanmar, making it an important trading hub and a popular destination for those traveling between Thailand and Myanmar. The town is best known for its border crossing into Tachalik, Myanmar, and it serves as a bustling gateway between the two countries. Also, the border market is a really popular attraction there. It's where people can shop for items from both Thailand and Myanmar. It's situated near the infamous Golden Triangle area, where the borders of Thailand, Myanmar, and Laos meet. This region was historically known for its opium production, but now has become a major tourist attraction, offering visitors a glimpse into the area's past and its role in the global drug trade. Many people visit Maesai to see Wat Phra Tha Doi Wao, which I probably said wrong, but it's a temple on top of a hill overlooking the town and the border with Myanmar. The temple is believed to have been founded over 1,000 years ago, making it one of the oldest and most historically significant temples in the region. It's considered a sacred site of pilgrimage for Buddhists who come to pay their respects and make offerings. It's also a cultural landmark in Maesai, and it serves as a focal point for local festivals and ceremonies, drawing worshippers and visitors from across the region. Maesai is surrounded by hill tribe villages, which are villages of different ethnic minority groups, including the Akha, Karen, Lisu, Lahu, Hmong, and others. Each group has its own distinct language, customs, traditions, and clothing. The villages are located in remote mountain areas around Maesai and are really cool to visit. You can witness their way of life, learn traditional crafts, and immerse into their cultures for a deeper understanding of their lives. There are a lot of guides that will do trekking tours that can range from short day trips to multi-day treks to visit these villages. But there's a dark side to Maesai, which we're about to dive into, involving human trafficking, drug dealing, and exploitation of underage workers. People from all across Asia have been lured to the border of Myanmar, thinking they're going for lucrative office jobs or nannying jobs, but instead end up being trafficked into their worst nightmares. Let's learn more about our victim in this case, Chong Soom Yi, who we'll call Angie.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. I am the host and creator of Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. The reason that I say that I want to keep you paranoid is because I'm one of those 80s kids that grew up watching Oprah, Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, and what did I learn from those shows? Never go to the second location, always trust your gut, and always stay paranoid. On Residue, I will tell you stories like the 1906 tragic love story of Grace Brown that inspired the classic Hollywood film, A Place in the Sun. And speaking of Hollywood, I also tell true tales of cursed film sets. And I'm going to add in some stories about mean girls that are so scary, even Regina George would run. But one thing always ties all of these stories together, and that is the loved ones that are left behind. Residue. Something that remains after the main part has been gone or taken. Join me on Residue, where I will tell you horrific true tales that will teach you to always keep one eye open. Stay paranoid.
Angie grew up in Johor Bahru, a city in the southernmost tip of the Malay Peninsula by Singapore. Her mother was named Kai Yun, and she had a brother, Zheng Wei, who was just a year older than her. They were really close growing up, and her brother always looked out for her. Angie lived a quiet life. She worked as a beautician in the family cosmetics business, and as a teenager, she moved to Kuala Lumpur and lived there for about 6 years. It's around a 4-hour train ride between the two cities, so she wasn't too far from family, and they were in constant contact. Her mom said they messaged daily, chatting about what Angie was doing and her plans for the future. Angie wasn't much of a risk taker in her personal life or financial life. She was young, but worked hard and had intentions to buy a house and invest in real estate. She didn't have any financial or economic struggles. She saved her money and didn't spend it on things she didn't need. She hadn't traveled much in her life and had definitely never traveled alone before. So it was especially out of character when she abruptly left the country without telling a single person what she was doing, where she was going, why she was leaving, or for how long. Nothing out of the ordinary happened before she left for her trip, and she wasn't acting any different in the days leading up to it. In fact, so little was said that her family, even though they spoke daily, only found out she had left town from a Facebook post she made. Which brings me to the question, why would someone like Angie get on a plane and leave the country without telling anyone at all in her life? Something that was so completely out of character for her. Let's track down what we know happened once Angie left home after some messages from our sponsors. Now, I have to tell you guys, not a whole lot is known in this case, but the facts we do have are pretty bizarre. Angie flew to Chiang Mai alone on May 29, 2023. Like I mentioned, she didn't tell anyone she was leaving, and her family only found out she left from a Facebook post she made once she arrived. And that was because she posted some touristy photos, making it seem like she was there on a vacation. Her mom immediately reached out and asked why she was there and what she was doing, but Angie avoided the questions, only saying she was there for work and would be home on June 7th. She even went as far as to send her mom a screenshot of her return flight back. But later, when they checked with her employer, they said that wasn't true. Angie was definitely not there for any jobs they knew about. So when Angie arrived at the airport in Chiang Mai, she was picked up by a man in a private car who then drove her about 250 kilometers or about 150 miles north to Mae Sai. That same night, she checked into a hotel near the Mae Sai border checkpoint. By all accounts, she checked in alone and no one visited her during the night. The next day, May 30th, Angie's mom tried to get a hold of her throughout the day, but she never responded. In fact, there's no record of whatever Angie was doing at all that entire day. The following day, May 31st, Angie is seen on surveillance video on her phone waiting in the lobby of the hotel she checked into the first night. She sat on a couch with her bags, looking totally relaxed and fine. After a few minutes, a woman dressed all in white arrives and walks towards Angie. They share a friendly greeting and a few words. Then the woman picks up some of Angie's luggage and they both walk out of the hotel together. From there, another video shows Angie on the back of the woman's motorcycle, headed in the direction of the border in the Tambong Ko Chang area of Mae Sai, where the Rock River and Tatcha Lake Township in Myanmar on the other side meet. And that's the last time she was seen on surveillance video anywhere. Later that same day, Angie actually sent two photos to her mom of herself in Mae Sai enjoying the sights. And after Angie went missing, officials found the woman in white motorist and questioned her. She said Angie paid her 500 baht, which is about $14, to take her to a border pier in Tambong Ko Chang. And after she dropped Angie off, she doesn't know if she crossed the border or went in another direction. She was only hired to drop her off. The next day, Angie's phone was turned off, making officials think she entered Myanmar using an unofficial border crossing point and turned her phone off so she wouldn't get caught. And she was last seen on WhatsApp at 10 p.m. on June 1st, 2023. Angie's mom immediately knew something was majorly wrong. Her daughter would never just go to another country and not tell anyone and then turn her phone off. So on June 2nd, Kaiyun made a Facebook post asking for the public's help in finding her daughter. She wrote, "My daughter has been missing for 24 hours in Thailand. Please share this. Thank you, everyone." And she included the last photo she received of Angie in the post. And it was shared over 14,000 times. But unfortunately, no one had seen Angie and there were no leads or updates to her whereabouts. But guys, listen up, because this is when things start to get really, really strange. When Kaiyun wasn't able to get any leads on Angie, she went to Thailand on June 6th to meet with the Thai tourist police who had already launched a search for her. That evening, they held a press conference asking the public for help locating Angie. The next day, on June 7th, three videos of Angie were posted to Facebook. They were uploaded by a new Facebook account that went by the name Mo I. So they weren't uploaded from Angie's Facebook page, but rather a completely unknown one. So right off the bat, it's pretty suspicious. Of the three videos, two of them were taken on a camera filming a phone that was playing the videos of Angie. So they weren't directly uploaded, which is odd. There's no reason anyone could think of why they weren't uploaded from the phone they were originally using to record them, or just sent to the other phone to upload. But rather, they uploaded a video of a video instead. The first video was 23 seconds long. In it, Angie says she is safe and smiles widely, emphasizing that she was working locally and was safe and healthy. She also asked the police not to embarrass the driver who picked her up from the airport because the other party knows nothing. She said, "I am working here now and am safe. Please don't worry about me. I'm extremely safe here. So police, please don't trouble the driver who gave me a ride. They don't know anything." But here's the thing with this video, and I'll post a link on our Patreon, but you can see the reflections on her glasses that shows what looks like a lit up computer monitor in front of her. So most people felt like she was reading from a script while being filmed. Also, her eyes looked like they were gliding from left to right. It definitely looks like she was reading from a script to me, but take a look and judge for yourself. In the second video, which was 34 seconds long, she again repeatedly said she was safe. She said, "Hello, hello, I'm actually fine. I am very safe and healthy, and I have not been beaten. So my friends, family, and netizens, those who I don't know, please don't worry about me. I am very, very healthy." She also has a bowl of food in front of the camera in this video, saying she was going to eat now. This video also seems totally scripted. And I don't know, Angie, but I don't think most people feel the need to say over and over that they are safe and healthy and haven't been beaten, but still give no explanation for why they haven't contacted anyone that's searching for them, if that's the case. The third video was only 3 seconds long. It shows her standing in front of a counter filled with some kind of products and giving a peace sign, looking into the camera. This is the only video that was uploaded directly from a phone to Facebook. And there were no explanations or comments attached with the videos that were uploaded. And again, the account was brand new, so it had no information or photos on it. So this was the only activity from this new Facebook account. Watching these videos, I immediately thought Angie was in trouble. She didn't give any identifiable information to where she actually was or what she was doing. She pauses at odd times and looks uneasy when she's speaking. It looks like she's reading a script on exactly what to say, and I definitely think she was forced to record the videos in hopes that people would believe them and stop looking for her. But her mom had no intention of giving up on trying to find her daughter. She said she would not rest until she sees Angie in person with her own eyes, saying, "Not until I see her in person, in my heart, I still don't know what happened. I'll get to the bottom of this." And she begged the public not to believe the videos that she felt her daughter was forced to make. On June 10th, her mom held another press conference concerning Angie's disappearance, in which authorities told the public there was a substantial likelihood that she was in Myanmar. The Royal Malaysian Police, or the PDRM, announced they would be working together with the Thai Police and International Police, or Interpol, to locate Angie. The secretary of the PDRM stated that they were cooperating with authorities in Thailand and Myanmar, as well as several other parties. But what's crazy is that right after the press conference, Angie contacted her mom again, this time through WhatsApp. She called and asked her not to make a big deal about her missing, or she may have to be transferred to another location to work. Now, during this call, she told her mother that she would be working abroad for 4 months in online shopping, and once the work is over, she would return home. When her mom asked about her workplace and what exactly she was doing for work, Angie avoided answering the questions. She would only say that she was located at the border of Thailand, and she would only repeat to her mom, "I'm fine, I'm happy." Her mom said she spoke in a hurry and continuously repeated herself, saying that she was well and to withdraw the missing persons report immediately. Her mom told her no, that she would not withdraw it until Angie returned. But to that, Angie told her that her return would not be possible unless the report was withdrawn. And at that point, the line was cut and no one has been able to call or send messages to Angie since. That was the very last time anyone has heard anything from Angie Chung. But there have been some other strange occurrences in the year since her disappearance. Her mom's Facebook was hacked on 3 separate occasions, and it's likely there's a connection to Angie's disappearance. On one occasion, the hackers changed her mom's Facebook status to say, "Angie Chung is found, she is safe and sound," and changed her profile photo to the video previously released saying that she was safe. Hackers also found her mom's Instagram account at one point and deactivated it. Beyond that, she's reported that someone extorted 10,000 Malaysian ringgits, which is about $2,100, claiming if she paid, they would guarantee Angie's safe return. Of course, she was never returned. Since those last phone calls to her mom, there have been no updates at all in Angie's case. No one has seen or heard from her. So, what happened to Angie Chung, and where is she now? I think most people are on the same page with this case, human trafficking. In the most basic of definitions, human trafficking is the buying and selling of people for the purpose of exploitation, and it happens at alarming rates. It's a global concern, and it directly affects Asia. The United Nations estimates that 56% of global human trafficking victims are in the Asia-Pacific region. Throughout Asia and the rest of the world, criminals are using social media to find their victims. They put out ordinary-looking ads promising legit, high-paying jobs, and they target poor areas and areas with a lot of migrants that are looking for better life. Then they lure them away from their friends and family and essentially kidnap them and force them to work for nothing in any number of industries, including forced labor, sexual exploitation, and even trafficking for organ removal. Once they go, the situation changes drastically. The men might be taken to fishing boats where they work as virtual slaves for weeks at a time out at sea, and then are locked up when they return to shore. There's violence and abuse for workers who are slow or don't understand what's being asked of them, and the work is hard with little time to rest, and they may even be killed if they try to escape. Women and children are often sex trafficked and made to work in brothels or on the streets and moved from country to country. Sometimes people are sent to fenced-off compounds similar to what you would think prison is like. They're made to work in online fraud scams or phone scams to scam others out of money. Really, the labor is endless because once they have these people, there's no way out, and they're treated horribly and made to work however their captors see fit. Forced labor, sex trafficking, and even organ trafficking. Myanmar serves as a source, transit, and destination country for all forms of human trafficking. Its geographical location between China, India, Thailand, and Bangladesh makes it a strategic point for traffickers moving victims across borders. Angie's mom believes her daughter was deceived by a syndicate based in the Tachalik province in Myanmar to work in an illegal call center. And she wouldn't be the first, because it's reported that about 3,000 Malaysians are allegedly working in the same illegal call center after being duped by offers of lucrative salaries and career opportunities. But once they arrive, their passports are taken and they're locked up. They're forced to work at the center under duress in inhumane living conditions. Some families have been able to pay high ransom fees for their release, and those who came back told stories of being starved and abused when they didn't follow instructions or work hard enough. And unfortunately, these stories are not new. The border regions of Myanmar are known trafficking destinations where people are forced to work in industrial-scale fraud factories located in special economic zones along the country's borders. And according to the United States Institute of Peace, in 2022, as many as 10,000 people were enslaved in these special economic zones. They're tortured and often threatened to have their organs harvested if they fail to generate adequate revenue from call centers and online scams. Burmese people have been particularly vulnerable to trafficking. men, women, and children who migrate abroad to Thailand, Malaysia, China, Bangladesh, India, and South Korea for work are often trafficked into forced or bonded labor or sexual exploitation. The Myanmar government, along with other international organizations, have taken steps to address human trafficking, which includes enacting anti-trafficking laws, raising awareness, providing support services to victims, and enhancing cooperation with neighboring countries. But they aren't doing enough, because human trafficking is not slowing down at all, but rather it's growing at speeds that are hard to even comprehend. Worldwide, there are an estimated 40.3 million people in modern slavery, with 43% of human trafficking victims in forced labor, 13% being exploited in the commercial sex trade, and 44% in forced marriages. Human trafficking is a very real problem that is happening every day in every country, affecting people of every age, ethnicity, gender, and socioeconomic background. I think Angie was trafficked, and when her mom made a big fuss, her traffickers weren't expecting that. So they forced her to make videos saying she was fine and telling them to stop looking for her. I think there's a good possibility that Angie is still alive and still being trafficked. Killing someone ends the supply of money that they can bring in, and so it doesn't benefit them to do that. Although there is a good possibility she's halfway across the world by now in order to keep her hidden. So please, go online, take a good look at Angie's photo, and keep your eyes peeled. She could be anywhere by now. Maybe you're traveling and you see someone that looks like her in a compromising situation, and your gut tells you something is wrong. Take a good look. Ask questions. If you see something, say something. If you have the chance to save someone's life, take it. Most of Southeast Asia is very safe to travel to, especially for tourists. Myanmar is currently in the middle of an ongoing civil war, also called the Burmese Spring Revolution, the Burmese Civil War, or the People's Defense War. In the most basic terms, many ethnic minorities in Myanmar have long felt marginalized and discriminated against by the central government. So they want independence for their regions to protect their rights and preserve their culture. In response to this, several groups have taken up arms against the central government, leading to the formation of various armed rebel groups that have fought against the government for decades. That being said, people are still traveling to Myanmar tourist areas like Yangon, Mandalay, and Bagan. A visa is required to enter, and there are only 3 airports right now that allow entry and exit into the country. Since the February 2021 coup, the military regime controls travel to, from, and within the country. To enter Myanmar, you must have a valid passport with at least 6 months validity remaining and a valid visa. You should apply for your visa at a Burmese embassy or consulate abroad before you arrive. Once inside, you'll be required to show your passport with your valid visa at all airports, train stations, and hotels. Security checkpoints are common outside of tourist areas, and travelers are still required to show documentation for COVID-19 medical insurance and a completed health declaration form. The U.S. government travel website says Burma or Myanmar is level 4, do not travel, due to civil unrest, armed conflict, and arbitrary enforcement of local laws. Also due to limited and/or inadequate health care and emergency medical resources, and areas with landmines and unexploded ordnances, as well as increased caution due to wrongful detentions. So Myanmar is not somewhere I'd travel at the moment, but somewhere I'd love to travel in the future. This is where authorities and Angie's family think she was being held and trafficked. Although, like I said, she could be anywhere in the world by now. Before disappearing, Angie was in the Mae Sai area of Chiang Rai, Thailand. And Thailand is very safe to visit. The U.S. State Department considers Thailand to be level 1, exercise normal precautions. Now, I've been to Thailand several times and felt extremely safe there as a single woman. Chiang Rai is considered a safe city, even at night, as long as you follow the basic precautions like leave your passport, expensive jewelry, and large amounts of cash in your hotel safe. Keep a copy of your passport with you at all times because police can demand proof of identification and it's a big fine if you don't have it. One of the main reasons people find Thailand so safe is because there really isn't much violent crime. Even if you walk home in Bangkok in the middle of the night, you're unlikely to face any physical harm. So what is dangerous in Thailand? The roads. The roads are for sure dangerous. Thailand has more road accidents per day per capita than almost any other country in the world. And I've seen the craziness firsthand, especially due to the tourists that go to Thailand and rent motorbikes. I'm not sure if it's because they're not familiar with motorbikes in general or not familiar with Thai driving, but so many tourists get in horrible motorbike accidents. You must be careful driving in Thailand. Another danger you wouldn't normally think about is foodborne illnesses. The very common traveler's diarrhea is caused by consuming contaminated food or water, and symptoms are diarrhea, cramps, nausea, and vomiting. It's not a total vacation wrecker, but it's not fun either. I've gone through it in several countries, even though I'm extremely careful. Also, bacterial infections like Salmonella and E. coli are common. Remember that food is handled, stored, and cooked differently than you're used to, so watch what you eat. And parasites like Giardia that have symptoms including diarrhea, cramps, bloating, and weight loss are very common. Of course, a simple food poisoning affects a lot of travelers, even when they're careful. Remember to always drink bottled or boiled water and avoid having ice in your drinks. Eat freshly cooked and hot foods, avoid raw or undercooked meats and seafood. Try to eat at reputable and clean places, wash your hands a lot, especially before eating or touching food. And be cautious with fruits and vegetables because they might have been washed in contaminated water. And although I'm a huge fan of street food, always watch to make sure everything appears clean and properly handled and cooked before you eat. Petty theft throughout Thailand is common. Snatch theft is when you're carrying your bag or phone or something else and someone drives by, usually on a motorcycle, and snatches it as they go by. It happens a whole lot. So watch how you carry your bags when you're walking and be careful with your phone, especially when taking a selfie. Of course, there are scams tailored to tourists, like taxi drivers who refuse to use a meter or a seller at a market deliberately giving you the wrong change back or charging you more because you're foreign. Keep an eye out in general for things like that. A hidden danger you might not think of in certain parts of Thailand is air pollution. The first time I visited Bangkok, after a couple days, my lungs hurt so bad it felt like I smoked a pack of cigarettes a day every morning. I figured out pretty quickly why people were wearing face masks, even though this was years before the pandemic. People were wearing the masks to avoid the air pollution, and once I started wearing them, I felt a whole lot better. Overall, I have a deep love for Thailand, and even considered living there for extended periods of time, because I love the food, the people, the weather, and the safety. It's a great place for families, couples, or solo travelers. Just always remember to use common sense and be kind when you travel, and you'll be just fine in Thailand. And no matter where you're traveling, make sure you inform someone about your plans before going anywhere. Tell someone reliable where you're going and what you'll be doing and when to expect you back. And my number one tip to staying alive on vacation is to pay attention to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. Angie Chong is likely being trafficked, and she could be anywhere in the world. I'll post a photo of her online, so take a screenshot and keep it in your phone because you never know. She's from Malaysia, and she's now 23 years old. When she left, she had long brown hair below her shoulders with blonde ends, brown eyes, and usually wears glasses. If you have any information regarding Angie Chung's whereabouts, please contact her family at 6014-328-2626 or contact the nearest police station if you think you see her. Angie's family misses her terribly, and they just want her back. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod, and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.